Morning, 741 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Judging by the 30 texts I've received, the most interesting thing on people's minds right now is the conversation we're having about Larry Downs Jr. using the word that starts with an S and rhymes with hit in the county commission meeting, and Stephen Berry instructing Wes Moreno, the county administrator, to have the deputy escort him away from the podium, which he did in an extraordinarily light touch way, just kind of walked up next to him and then they kind of walked away. But since it's your deputy, Sheriff, by the way, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah. Is your deputy is not the arbiter of the First Amendment. Your deputy is there to do what the county administrator or the chairman tells him to do in the meeting, right? Within reason.
That is correct. That is correct. The chairman of the Board of County Commissioners, whoever's running the meeting, has control of that meeting. And they typically can determine who stays and who goes based upon whatever behavior they deem appropriate or not. It's very difficult for a law enforcement officer to get up there and say, no, Mr. Chairman of the Board, I don't think that that's appropriate. And this has been going on for decades. I remember years ago, I was a police chief, and Nathan Monk was up at the podium, and they wanted him removed.
Yeah.
So I happened to be there. I walked up to him. We both stood there for a while until the timer went down, because I didn't really feel like it was the appropriate thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But technically that was a city council president at the time, that was trying to get that done. So we cooler heads prevailed, and we mm-hmm. both walked off, and it worked out fine. And I do appreciate Mr. Downs going ahead and walking away. He made his point from what I understand. But that's very difficult for our deputies to have to deal with, because we got to keep our personal stance or our personal opinions out of it. And it's not whether we think that the person should be removed. It's whether the chairman or whoever's running the board or the meeting at that time determines it's appropriate or not.
And hypothetically, if a court eventually found that it had been a violation of Larry Downs' rights to have him escorted away, and your deputy was acting at the behest of the chairman, your deputy's job is hired to do what the chairman says, right? It's not his job to cut the fine nuance of what the Supreme Court's going to decide is protected speech or not.
That's correct. And again, imagine, if that's the case, then all of our deputies would be the one that's deciding who stays and who goes.
It's not like an out on the street situation where they actually are tasked with deciding if somebody is violating a law or is protected or not. But in that kind of a situation, it's different because they're in a controlled space, essentially.
Yes. Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
All right. I just wanted, I knew people would have questions about this, especially since it was one of your deputies that kind of unfairly to him got dragged into this.
Yeah. And if it is civil, then obviously we're going to get sued because we get sued for everything.
For all everything that happens.
No, exactly. No matter what happens.
We have a couple of really terrible stories, but I want to wait on that for just a second, because we have good things going on. The fair is going on, and you guys are involved in security again this year, right? You got all kinds of stuff that you're using at the fair this year, all kinds of new technology, right?
Well, yeah, we have really the new technology is the cameras, the systems that we have. We purchased five what we call camera platforms. They're basically pull behind trailers with a telescoping camera system on it that we can monitor through our real time crime center. It also records what it sees. So we deployed all five of them, and we have found two additional ones from Florida Department of Law Enforcement that we have out there. So we have seven cameras, and we have drones out there this year. And then we have between 30 and 50, depending on a day and time, the deputies that are actually there. We have our command bus there. We do this for
and
our
And I assume you have other law enforcement agencies too, both in and out of uniform, typically help.
We're going it alone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's new. All right. I mean, right. That's in the past. Hasn't it been more collaborative?
I think there was about 4 or 5 years ago, the sheriff's office decided, before I became sheriff, the sheriff's office decided they wouldn't work security at the fair.
Oh, that's okay. That was when there was, yeah, okay.
Were there.
That's right.
But since we've taken it over, luckily we're large enough to have the resources to be able to handle the fair. Okay. We've been doing it since when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of a tradition to me that the sheriff's office runs security at the fair. And
fair's been,
and we've been doing it.
Trouble-free, minor incidents, normal run-of-the-mill stuff.
I haven't heard of anything.
That's great.
I mean, you know, we also have some lighting. We have some portable lighting because we have, during our security assessment over the last couple of months, really determined it might be some darker areas.
Okay.
So we put some lighting there, including the intersection out there in front. So right now, again, we're going to continue to be out there in a robust manner, but I haven't heard anything.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. This story with Tara Alexa Sykes, I believe is her name. This is awful. I mean, this is the kind of thing, like even you had said, you know, when do you see this kind of stuff? Do you tell me what happened? Because I guess she was communicating with this 10-year-old on the Roblox gaming platform or something. And anyway,
that's the basics of it. There was this Tara Sykes was communicating through that social media platform to a 10-year-old. And I can simply tell you that the conversation
her relationship. I was kind of confused about that. I thought I had heard that it was the child's mother. Then I hear that it's a relation. It's not just a plain stranger. So what's, can you?
Well, I can say that I can't comment about the identity of a victim of child abuse.
Oh,
and so I have to be very careful with what I say.
Got it.
And obviously you don't want to put names out there of victims of child abuse. So I can simply say it's a 10-year-old, and I can say that it's not a random person that she had befriended on this social media platform.
Okay.
There was a relationship.
So this is
beforehand.
Not like out-of-state predator contacts you randomly. Okay, got it. Okay.
This was the communication was set up and designed so that these two can communicate.
Okay.
And I can tell you that much.
Gosh.
But she instructed this 10-year-old to do just terrible things to a two-month-old. Infant, to include like dropping the child on a hard floor, potentially drowning, potentially burning the child. Unfortunately, the 10-year-old did fall through on one thing and intentionally dropped the child on the floor. The child had suffered, the infant had suffered some severe head injuries, and as I understand, will survive. But the child did suffer some injuries, some head injuries. And we were contacted by the Gulf Coast Kids House on the 17th, and that's how it started for us. To go further with this Sykes, what she was trying to instruct the 10-year-old to do, also to cut the throat and to burn the adults that she is temporarily staying with. So it becomes very difficult for for us to read this and to think that, hey, someone can actually do this, can think it, let alone carry out such a thought and such a serious crime.
So I know you have to be very careful what you can say, but was the 10-year-old the sibling of the 2-year-old?
I will tell you that the 10-year-old did have a relationship with the 2-month-old.
Because I'm just, I mean, the relationship between the woman and the child, I'm also thinking about the infant. Oh my God!
Yeah, and we put it out on our. We started getting phone calls, obviously, about it.
And
a lot of people do know circumstances, more circumstances than I'm at liberty to talk about.
Okay.
And we understood that it would be complicated, but I hope people understand that we want to protect the identity of a victim.
Yeah.
And even though it's very difficult in cases like this, in the past, if you recall, we had a murder suicide of a woman took the life of her 10-year-old. I think it was 10-year-old or 11-year-old daughter. And then she killed herself. Mm-hmm. In those situations,
because
you can't
deceased,
help but to put that information out. There's a murder charge there. But this is just about as disturbing as it gets. Every time I read it, I just still can't believe someone could be evil enough to have these thoughts and then to ask and encourage someone to carry them out is just beyond belief.
I am, you tell me, but I'm assuming that the children are no longer available to her. Right at the moment,
well, she's in jail. No one should be available to her. But that is correct. Again,
and the charges,
attempted murder while engaged in aggravated child abuse,
and I'm also assuming no charges against the 10-year-old.
No, I will tell you that the investigation is continuing.
Okay,
but you know, because there's a lot here to unwind.
Sure,
but at this point, there are no charges on the 10-year-old. At this point.
Oh.
And again, there will be more circumstances coming out as it becomes more public, but I can't be the one to to put this information out.
I got you.
Or I won't be the one to put that information out.
Lighter crimes, I guess. People in Cantonment stole a bunch of AT&T cable and knocked out service for 900 people. Is that right?
Yeah, we had, I think there were some pictures out there.
I mean, is it copper?
Media.
Is that what they were after? Or like high quality cabling of some kind?
It's got to be. And they cut, what, a couple thousand feet of it or whatever it was. And it was obviously very valuable. But what it did is, it knocked out the power of the AT&T.
Yeah, I think it was like phone lines, basically. So twisted pair, I'm thinking, but okay.
Yeah, these people like that, they probably have other issues as well.
We also had a shooting Sunday afternoon where there was a fight and the guy got shot.
Yeah, so boyfriend and ex-boyfriend are at a location. I think it's a house, and they decide, hey, let's take it outside, as historically people have done. And once they're outside, the one guy just pulls out a gun and shoots the other guy in the head. And so we're charged him with, initially it was an aggravated battery. When we looked at it, we upped the charges to attempted murder, obviously, because he pulled out a gun and shot a guy in the head. I'm assuming the other guy thought they were going to fight, but that's not what occurred. So you can't, that ain't cool.
And by the way you said it, I just want to clarify, I don't know that it makes a difference, but boyfriend of girl and ex-boyfriend of girl go outside to fight.
Correct.
Okay, not boyfriend and boyfriend of each other or some.
No,
that's
no,
not
no,
what you meant.
Yeah, okay. yeah, boyfriend and then ex-boyfriend of the, got it. Of a particular.
On the more of the good news-ish note, you guys have made an arrest in the Chimes Way shooting, right?
Yeah, if you recall, we had a situation over there off W Street. A car was in a roadway near it, and then someone pulled up alongside them and fired a couple rounds and ended up killing one person and seriously injuring another person. Our investigators did a jam-up job reviewing video footage and going backtracking, and we're using our real-time crime center, using some of the camera systems that we have in place, as we've been talking about over the last year or so. Ended up charging 26-year-old, we charged Walter Baker with a crime that left the 26-year-old dead. So Walter Baker's been charged with murder and the death of the one man, attempted murder and the serious injury of the other individual. Tampering with evidence and a weapon possession by a convicted felon. So he's in jail. At least he was without bond, and I'm assuming he still has little chance of bond.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you about is just because we're in the middle of voting already, but Amendment 3, you're a law enforcement officer, the decriminalization or legalization of personal consumption amounts of marijuana for non-medical use, up to, 3 ounces, I think, personal possession, which is a lot, for a person to just be carrying around. Thoughts? I mean, I know the law is the law and you'll enforce it whatever the people decide, but do you have a thought one way or the other about whether you want to see this happen?
Right. Well, it's as simple as that. I mean, this is an amendment to the Constitution, so whatever happens, we will enforce it. I've been pretty clear over the last couple of years that low-level marijuana is not on the highest of our priority list. Fentanyl, methamphetamine, those are the high ones. But distribution of marijuana we've seen locally can be the result of some can result in some serious crimes, some shootings and stuff. I will tell you that while it's not high on our priority list, I can't bring myself to support it.
Yeah.
I've talked to law enforcement officers in Colorado, in California. I've talked to all of them and some of the things that they're seeing, some of the degradation of the society, basically what they call it. I just can't be the one that says, "Hell yeah, let's vote for this." And I'm quite surprised, actually, that some sheriffs throughout the state are doing that. But that's their prerogative. I just I'm not the guy that comes out and says I think this is a good thing, because I don't think it's going to be ultimately a good thing. Again, that being the case, whatever is passed, we'll obviously enforce it or not enforce it.
Well, a lot of the advocates act like they're doing you a favor, because they're going to free up resources from having to arrest guys carrying around a couple of joints or whatever, and that's going to make your life easier. Do you feel like they're doing you a favor?
No. Again, because we are not arresting people for misdemeanor possession of marijuana, and they're not the ones that are clogging up the prison system. I can't think of anything that it would free us up again, because we're going to continue to make whatever traffic stops for speeding or whatever traffic violation. Our canines do no longer alert on marijuana.
Because
we don't
of the
train
medical,
them
right?
anymore.
For years now,
hemp and medical. So we don't even do that. So it's not like it's going to, oh my gosh, we're free to do this other thing or that thing. And then there's another thought that You know, there's no longer this fentanyl-laced marijuana. You can be sure that this is the just marijuana.
Certified safe.
That's not really the way it goes. People that are overdosing on fentanyl, a lot of times they may not know how much fentanyl's in it, but they know there's some fentanyl in it, or they know there's some more serious drug in that marijuana.
Well, Sheriff, thank you so much for the time. Always thank you for educating us on the things that are going on in our community and for the perspective on the amendment. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.